And do you personally know Admiral Thomas R. Wilson?
Yes, I do.
When I first began publicly sharing the information I was uncovering with another researcher who wishes to remain anonymous, we were contacted by Leslie Kane and Ralph Blumenthal of the New York Times, who asked us if we could take our public research down temporarily. This is where I really found myself going down the rabbit hole. We now have additional evidence on top of the documents themselves that I was able to obtain through insider testimony, which will be provided in this video as we go through. Oak Shannon was the manager of their special projects. Even a four-star admiral and director of the Defense Intelligence Agency could be excluded from an extremely compartmentalized program relating to non-human technologies.
You can count on Admiral Wilson whenever he's available to give you information.
He's going to need assurances before he's going to speak. Give him those assurances. Give him the safety net and allow that information to flow into a secure channel and then do something about it for the benefit of the public. With the Trump administration recently announcing that they will be waiving non-disclosure agreements attached to UFO-related programs for retired and former contractors and government officials, providing a pipeline for whistleblowers to testify under oath without being punished for breaking the agreements they'd previously signed, I thought it would be a perfect time to highlight one of the most important names in the UFO subject. I was able to secure additional evidence on what the UFO community considers to be a potential smoking gun document, the Admiral Wilson leaks, aka the Eric Davis notes. It is my belief that Admiral Thomas R. Wilson needs to be subpoenaed to testify under oath about what he was exposed to during his time as the 13th director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. The additional evidence I acquired came from a former special projects manager at Los Alamos National Labs, a retired nuclear physicist and US Navy veteran called Oak Shannon, who is mentioned several times directly in these documents. When I first began publicly sharing the information I was uncovering with another researcher who wishes to remain anonymous, we were contacted by Leslie Kane and Ralph Blumenthal of the New York Times, who asked us if we could take our public research down temporarily. This is where I really found myself going down the rabbit hole. So first of all, some background on the Admiral Wilson leaks, or the Eric Davis notes. In simple terms, they are a series of notes from an alleged informal meeting that took place between a man called Dr. Eric W. Davis and another man called Admiral Thomas R. Wilson. If you have heard of either of these men before, I would wager it's more likely that you've heard of Dr. Eric W. Davis, a theoretical physicist with a long background in the Department of Defense, advanced propulsion research, and some of the most closely scrutinized UFO-related government efforts of the last few decades. He's done work with the Defense Intelligence Agency, the Air Force Research Laboratory, Earth Tech International, the Aerospace Corporation, and he was also a prominent member of the National Institute of Discovery Science, which was founded in 1995 by Robert Bigelow. Now, this was a privately funded independent scientific research institute investigating anomalous phenomena, including UFOs, cattle mutilation, and other unexplained events, most famous for their studying of the anomalous hotspot in the Uinta Basin called Skinwalker Ranch, which at one point in time the NIDS group were contracted by the Department of Defense to study. Robert Bigelow's NIDS group assembled an unusually credentialed advisory board and research staff that included numerous former government, military, and intelligence personnel, such as John B. Alexander, former U.S. Army intelligence and special operations officer, who later worked on non-lethal weapons such as psychotronics and advanced defense concepts, Jacques Vallée, computer scientist, venture capitalist, astronomer, and one of the world's most influential UFO researchers, Dr. Eric W. Davis, theoretical physicist, specializing in advanced propulsion, frontier physics, and U.S. government aerospace research programs, Dr. Harold E. Puthoff, also known as Hal Puthoff, physicist and electrical engineer known for his work on lasers, zero-point energy concepts, remote viewing, and defense-funded research into advanced technologies. You also had Colm Kelleher, a biochemist and medical researcher who served as deputy administrator of NIDS and later managed programs for the Bigelow Aerospace Advanced Space Studies investigating anomalous phenomena. Now, many of these individuals simultaneously held or later held government contracts, particularly through organizations such as Earth Tech International and Bigelow Aerospace Advanced Space Studies, and later the Defense Intelligence Agency funded Advanced Aerospace Weapon System Application Program, known as AWSAP. Dr. Eric Davis was thrown into the spotlight circa 2017 through the current UFO disclosure conversation emanating through the halls of Congress and the Senate. He's closely connected to the core group of original intelligence, defense, and government officials who came out via the To the Stars Academy pipeline in 2017, which was established by Tom DeLonge. We're talking people like Lou Elizondo, Christopher Mellon, Jim Semivan, and Hal Puthoff. When the UFO conversation went mainstream, with Navy pilots coming out on record and grainy gun camera footage being released, Dr. Eric Davis was part of this network that many, including myself, have spoken out against over the years for demonstrable red flags that indicate the likelihood of narrative engineering, a psychological operation on the public, and you can see some of my recent videos on that for more context, including my episode on the Joe Rogan podcast, where I went into detail about my own personal experiences with this narrative hygiene that is affecting the UFO conversation. So who is Admiral Thomas R. Wilson? Admiral Wilson is a retired four-star United States Navy admiral who spent more than three decades serving in some of the most senior intelligence and operational positions in the U.S. military. During his career, he commanded naval forces at sea, held numerous senior staff appointments, and ultimately became one of the highest-ranking intelligence officers in the entire Department of Defense. Most notably, between 1999 and 2002, Wilson served as the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, the Pentagon's primary military intelligence organization, responsible for providing intelligence support to the Secretary of Defense, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, combatant commanders, and policymakers across the U.S. national security establishment. As DIA director, Wilson oversaw thousands of intelligence personnel and had visibility into some of the most sensitive military and intelligence programs in existence. Prior to becoming director of the DIA, he served as director for intelligence, better known by the military designation J2, on the Joint Staff, under the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. In that role, he was responsible for coordinating intelligence across all branches of the U.S. Armed Forces, ensuring that America's most senior military leadership had access to the intelligence required for strategic decision-making. Few officers ever occupy a position with broader visibility into classified military activities. Throughout his career, Wilson held some of the highest security clearances available within the U.S. government and routinely dealt with special access programs, sensitive compartmented information, and highly classified military capabilities. While possessing such clearances does not automatically grant access to every classified program, as the compartmentalized nature of the special access program system means that many programs remain isolated, even from senior officials, it does establish that Wilson operated at the very highest levels of the American national security apparatus. This is precisely why the alleged meeting in the so-called Admiral Wilson notes attracted so much attention. The central claim is not simply that a military officer heard rumors about UFO crash retrievals. The claim is that a sitting director of the Defense Intelligence Agency allegedly attempted to gain access to an extraordinarily compartmentalized special access program and was told he did not possess the necessary need to know, despite being one of the most senior intelligence officials in the United States government. Now, if true, those allegations carry profound implications for how deeply compartmentalized certain programs may be. If false, it would represent one of the most elaborate fabrications ever attributed to two individuals whose careers placed them at the very highest levels of American science and military intelligence. And that's the point of this video. We now have additional evidence on top of the documents themselves that I was able to obtain through insider testimony, which will be provided in this video as we go through. Understanding who Admiral Thomas Wilson was and the extraordinary level of authority and access he possessed is essential to understanding the importance of these notes, if they're legitimate. So the notes themselves are of an alleged meeting between these two, an informal meeting that, according to the notes, took place in the car park of EG&G Special Projects Facility in Las Vegas. It is indicated from the alleged conversation that Dr. Eric Davis is taking notes, not recording the meeting with audio, but later constructing the notes into a dialogue between him and the Admiral. Eric has been praised by numerous people for having a uniquely powerful memory. Now, whether that's true or not, the dialogue is extremely thorough in the notes. Now, a lot was said in this alleged conversation, so I'm going to give you the TLDR on the notes. I'll encapsulate them for you and provide a link for you to view or download the notes yourselves. They have, in fact, been uploaded to the Congressional Record, so you can actually download them off of the official .gov website, and I'll provide a link for that. You can find that in the video description or the comment section. And on your way towards either of those places, you will first have to come across the subscribe button. Now, a lot of you are still watching my videos without subscribing. And a bit like how, if you say fairies don't exist somewhere in the world, one dies. Every time you watch one of my videos without subscribing, I gain a gray hair, and I'm starting to run out of room for them now. I don't know what happens next. Please do me a favor, hit the subscribe button now. So the TLDR on the Admiral Wilson, Eric Davis notes is that Admiral Wilson, upon receiving a series of informal intelligence briefings, some of which included Dr. Stephen Greer, who had reached out to the Admiral to brief him on the existence of what he believed to be illegal black budget programs operating in the murky environment of waived, carved out USAPs that were reverse engineering non-human technologies in secret. A waived or carved out USAP refers to an extremely restricted form of unacknowledged special access program, a USAP, that is insulated from the normal oversight mechanism of the US government. A waived SAP is an official legal term, whereas a carved out SAP is more of an informal piece of language used by people in the classified world to describe programs that are effectively isolated from the normal chain of command. So this is how the hierarchy works. You have your special access programs, your SAPs. The government admits the program exists. Congress is notified through the appropriate oversight committees about the existence of this program, but the details remain classified. Now, this is very normal. You'll find this in many advanced stealth or intelligence programs. Then you have unacknowledged special access programs, the USAPs. Now, even the existence of the program is classified. Officials without authorization are expected to deny it exists, and only individuals with both the correct clearance and a demonstrated need to know are read into the program. Then you have your waived SAPs. This is where things become exceptionally restrictive. Under US law, most special access programs, SAPs, must be reported to the Congressional Defense and Intelligence Committee. A waived SAP is exempt from those normal reporting requirements. Instead, Congress as a whole is not informed. Notification is typically limited to the Gang of Eight, or depending on the circumstance and legal authority involved, an even smaller number of congressional leaders and designated oversight officials. Budget information for these programs is often hidden inside unrelated appropriations, scattered across the four winds to avoid audits. Very few executive branch officials will know that the program exists. Now, according to the notes, Admiral Thomas Wilson claims he discovered a deeply compartmentalized program, very much within the waived, carved out arena of program classification, which involved recovered non-human technology. When he attempted to exercise his authority as a senior Pentagon intelligence official to gain access, he was allegedly told that he lacked a legitimate need to know. The program was managed by a private defense contractor, not a government agency, and even his position as DIA director did not entitle him to be read into the program. The notes are built around the idea that even a four-star admiral and director of the Defense Intelligence Agency could be excluded from an extremely compartmentalized program relating to non-human technologies. The most that the admiral was able to get out of these three individuals from the program who agreed to a meeting was that they were a reverse engineering program, that progress was extremely slow. Now I have my suspicions about that. I think that could be a bit of misinformation, that they had no communication or collaboration with the international scientific community, and that they believed that the vehicle could travel through air, through water, space, and possibly even dimensions, and that the vehicle was not man-made, not made by human hands. Beyond these admissions, the Admiral was told he would not be read in. And when he brought this issue up the chain of command to the members of the Special Access Program Oversight Committee, SAPOC, he was, according to the notes, warned not to pursue this further or face an early resignation and have a star knocked off of his shoulder. So according to the notes, when he took this up the chain of command, he was threatened, which would say that not only were they fully aware of the program, but had no intention of disclosing it and did not consider its obscenely classified nature to be problematic. Now, the point of this video is not only to bring those who aren't aware of the Admiral Wilson documents up to speed on what they are, but to highlight that during the earlier years of my podcast, before I had much of an audience, I was able to obtain key evidence from an individual named several times directly in these notes who had never spoken on record before, was not part of the active UFO community whatsoever, a retired nuclear physicist and special projects manager for none other than Los Alamos National Labs, infamous in UFO lore for likely obtaining materials from the Roswell wreckage in 1947, suspected of being one of the Tier 1 labs for analyzing exotic, non-human technologies and biologics. Oak Shannon was the manager of their special projects. His name appears several times in these notes. The Admiral says to Eric that he wishes Oak Shannon could have been here, that he's a big Oak Shannon fan. He goes on to say that Oak is not well right now, and that his wife Linda is taking his calls, and says that prior to this, he had a lengthy phone call with Oak Shannon about Eric Davis. You see, Eric Davis had reached out to the Admiral with a desire to talk, but the Admiral was unsure of who Eric was. Knowing Oak Shannon, and knowing Oak ran in the same government-related scientific circles, he, according to the notes, called Oak Shannon, the Admiral, with the intention of ascertaining the credibility and overall trustworthiness of Eric Davis, presumably in order to make a decision as to whether or not he was going to meet with Eric. Oak Shannon vouched for Eric to the Admiral, and in the notes it shows that the Admiral relayed this back to Eric, that Oak had vouched for him, and it was clear from the notes that the Admiral held Oak Shannon in high regard. But this is where the trail ended for years. Nobody could contact Oak Shannon. The Admiral denied the meeting took place, which is something he said he would do in the alleged conversation with Eric, that if any of this was to get out, he would deny any and all knowledge and would deny the meeting between him and Eric ever happened, which is exactly what he has done whenever he has been asked about the notes by researchers. However, through a US Navy intelligence contact, I was actually able to bridge the communication gap with Oak Shannon. Me and my source offered to fly out to Florida, buy Oak some lunch, and hear what he had to say. After some back and forth with him and his wife Linda, they actually agreed to meet us. During our lunch, he acknowledged what he would later reiterate in an exclusive interview with myself, that Admiral Wilson had indeed called Oak Shannon during the same time period as the Admiral Wilson notes claim the meeting between Eric Davis and the Admiral occurred, and that he had called Oak Shannon with the expressed intention of learning more about Dr. Eric Davis. He wanted to know from Oak whether this was a man who could be trusted. Oak, who had worked with Eric Davis on joint projects in the past, validated Eric Davis to the Admiral as a trustworthy person. This is reiterated in the leaked notes where the Admiral literally says that he's a big Oak Shannon fan.
Just a few questions about a series of documents, and I'm going to explain for those of you listening who don't actually know about them. A series of documents that found their way into the public domain after they were discovered in the files of the now deceased Apollo 14 astronaut, Dr. Edgar Mitchell.
And they told me because they were under security oath, but they wanted to get it off their chest before they passed on, that these were real things. And in addition to that, I was briefed at our Pentagon because I'd asked some questions there a few years ago, and was briefed a high-level officer on what I knew. And he said, well, I don't know about that, but I will find out. And he called me a few weeks later and said, you're right on, these things are real. I should be in charge of that, but I'm not.
Your name is mentioned in these documents, and so for the sake of clarification, I think it's important that we just get your side of this on the record. So I would just like to be able to ask you, first of all, whether or not you personally know Dr. Eric W. Davis.
Yeah. I didn't work with him day in and day out, but I did work with him. I know him fairly well. In mutual projects, mutual acquaintances, meetings, things of that sort.
And do you personally know Admiral Thomas R. Wilson?
Yes, I do. But I know him, and of course I know of him. But I read somewhere that his response was, "Oak who?" And I thought that was kind of funny. as I mentioned to you, I consider myself eminently forgettable. So I'm sure that my memory of him is stronger than his memory of me, because he became a flag officer. I went off and did weird things on top of a mesa in New Mexico. So,
did Admiral Wilson get in contact with you in 2001 or 2002, inquiring into the background and overall trustworthiness of Dr. Eric Davis?
Earlier than that.
Was it earlier than that? My apologies.
Yeah. No, it's... We moved to Florida in 2000, and Linda is listening in the background, so she can yell at me and tell me if I'm wrong.
Hey, Linda.
2001. I had had a heart attack and had actually died on the ICU table, and had my own out-of-body experience, by the way.
Yes, I want to talk to you about that a little bit later on. Absolutely.
I was eventually forced to retire medically because I could not get back in the saddle, even remote work. And I was at home. I was had several complications out of that experience, out of that problem, kept recurring over the months. This was in like May of 99, honey?
Yeah.
May of 99. And throughout the summer, I was having these other problems being cropped up for that. And so I was at home. Actually, I was actually writing. Trying to write a novel about the destruction of the Twin Towers. This was in 1999. I had to trash that when it actually happened.
Wow.
I got this phone call, and it was from Admiral Wilson. And he asked me, now, this was not a short conversation. I was recuperating. I was able to carry on this conversation on the phone, but I wasn't able to do much else at that point. And we had a discussion, and one of the things he wanted to know was, could he trust Eric Davis? And I think he may have even mentioned Hal Putoff and one or two other people. And I mentioned that, yes, I believe that Eric Davis was an honorable and conscientious scientist, and that he would honor any restrictions the Admiral might put on him. And I thought it would be safe for him to contact him.
He did call you up. He did ask about Eric Davis, and you did subsequently vouch for Dr. Eric Davis in response to his...
That's a good way to put it. I vouch for him.
All right.
When pressed by journalists years later on the validity of the leaked notes, Admiral Wilson had, in reference to Oak Shannon's name being brought up, said to the journalists, "Oak who? Oak who?" And this was something that Oak brought up during our lunch, that he found this quite amusing, because in his own words, he absolutely does know the Admiral. Oak is mentioned several times during the alleged conversation between Eric Davis and Admiral Wilson, including another point of evidence I was able to confirm. The Admiral says to Eric in the notes that he wishes Oak could be here with them, but that he is struggling with health complications and that his wife Linda is currently taking his calls. I was able to confirm from Oak himself that this was indeed true. He had, at this time, suffered a major heart attack, and his wife Linda was in fact taking his calls for him at that time, exactly what is described in the Admiral Wilson notes. Now, what I find most interesting about Oak Shannon is he's not part of what I would call the Rat Pack. He's not trying to push an agenda out there. He was not a public person until we did our interview, and he was reluctant to meet me in the first place. This is not a man seeking fame or trying to sell a story. He's trying to live a quiet life with his wife and family. So this, to me, makes the situation even more evident that the Admiral did indeed call Oak about Eric. And the fact that the situation is clearly outlined in the notes that are allegedly from a conversation between Eric Davis and Admiral Wilson, I think it's fair to say this adds a major stroke of credibility to the actual documents themselves. If these were purely fabrications, how could such a niche and yet real detail, Oak's health complications or the calling up of Oak Shannon to ascertain Eric's trustworthiness, all confirmed as true by Oak himself? How could these appear in a purely fabricated set of documents? See, I had concerns about these documents, that they were in essence a fake paper trail used for bolstering a narrative, but when I was able to get in contact with Oak Shannon, it confirmed for me that the likelihood of this being a real transcript of a real conversation between Dr. Eric Davis and Admiral Thomas Wilson is extremely high. I think the senators and congressmen pursuing this issue need to look into this more deeply. These notes have already been inserted into the congressional record. They are available for your perusal, and subpoenas should be generated for people like Admiral Wilson. He's going to need assurances before he's going to speak. Give him those assurances. Give him the safety net and allow that information to flow into a secure channel, and then do something about it for the benefit of the public. I have also found one of the most tangible, publicly available threads connecting a trio of US legacy programs to the world of clandestine UFO retrieval and material exploitation efforts hiding underneath conventional Cold War operations. This is clearly outlined and referenced in multiple documents, so keep an eye out for my next video, which will be diving into that paper trail. Until then, have a great day, have a great week. Don't forget to subscribe, like, share, comment. It's a battle every day on YouTube to try and keep above the algorithm. So everything you can do, commenting, sharing, liking, it all helps. Of course, subscribing. So many of you are still watching my videos without subscribing. Please do subscribe. Please. It's a big help.